The Spiritual Freedom Show with Richard Lawrence, where politics is not the answer, materialism counts for nothing, and spirituality will set you free.
I'm Richard Lawrence, and this is an Ethereus podcast. We're also syndicated on these radio networks: Body, Mind, Spirit Radio, Transformation Talk Radio, WTRM, the Trim Radio Network, and Oneness Talk Radio.
Richard.
Hello, Darren.
So, you shared a story some weeks, some months ago now, about your own experience you had of cosmic realization. I think one that's, I speak for many, many people, countless people probably, who have seen that as a massive inspiration on their own spiritual path. Myself, certainly, and I know many people told me that as well.
That's great.
I think not just an inspiration, but also thought-provoking in many ways. And, we had a series of questions that actually came in as a result of that, which I thought would be good to share on the show.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah. Not least because I think they ultimately get at, the real question of the meaning of life, which is, all of the nine freedoms, if that's what we're talking about. But these ones, kind of the theme I've kind of curated them in, here today is really about the nature of evolution. Mm-hmm. And I thought it was interesting. A couple of weeks ago, I came across a video on YouTube, just, nosing around. And there was someone on there who was talking, I think it was on the Joe Rogan show, and he was explaining how there'd been he was talking about a conference that had been convened recently by, a group of evolutionary biologists, I think at the Royal Society here in London. And he was talking about the perspective they had shared, which had been, largely about the deficiencies that they see in the explanatory power of Neo-Darwinism, which is, the theory of evolution that we're all taught in school, right? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And I just thought it was interesting that, here we are, these people who are the sort of at the very top of this whole field are now beginning to question the very tenets on which it's based in the first place. Mm-hmm. And, I won't go into it all, but basically the bottom line is, it turns out maybe we really don't have all the answers, and maybe there's a different way that we need to be thinking about evolution.
Absolutely.
And then particularly spiritual evolution, which is, I think, the point of our show, obviously.
Yeah. Well, can I...
Go for it.
First of all, I think it's absolutely... I didn't know we'd had a lot of questions. I'm delighted we have, and I'd certainly do my best to answer them. It's very difficult to talk about a state like the one I described. I certainly understand, as I never did before, why some, the Ramani Maharshis and others resort to silence. Even the Lord Buddha did at time. I can see why, because sometimes there's just nothing you can say. And layout say likewise. So say the greatest things are the things that can't be spoken. And you can try and say what happened, and you can't really comment too much further on it. I can try and help if I can, but it's what it is. But coming to your main point about evolution, and that's what life is for, that I know, that is a given, and that's our whole purpose, and that's why we're here, and that's why the galaxy exists. We have the greatest book of evolution, teaching on evolution from the point of view of human intelligences we have ever been given, leaves Darwin out in the cold, and the others that you refer to, the other viewpoints that you refer to completely. And that's the core teaching of this show, which is the nine freedoms, because that is an absolute roadmap of our evolution. Yeah. And the ninth freedom ends with this statement by Mars Sector 6. He says, the nine freedoms have been given to Terra at this time, that Terra being Earth, in order to stimulate and raise the consciousness of the few thinkers. Use this information well, for it will change you. For it will cause multitudinous thoughts to come into your mind. For this information will be the dawning of wisdom for you. Now, I've studied the nine freedoms for decades, five decades.
To be precise.
I think it is. Yes, it's five. My goodness, it's 5 decades since I was at university. I remember the day I first read it at university, vividly.
Wow.
And it's definitely changed my life. And I'm still studying it, but I've never studied it in the depth. And not just studied it, contemplated and meditated on it in the depth that I've done since the Spiritual Freedom Show. And I attribute that, to a degree at least, to that, and I will say the 12 blessings, to the state, because I think you can enter that I experience, yeah. because I think you can enter a state. Now, if you take someone like Yogananda, and I mean, because I don't put it anywhere on the level of the cosmic consciousness state described in the Nine Freedoms by Dr. George King. Hence, I don't call it cosmic consciousness, because it just isn't at the level of his experience at all. But I would equate it, it's very different, but I would equate it to, say, for example, the description made by Yogananda of what he called cosmic consciousness in his wonderful autobiography. Some might really be offended by that, and if so, I nothing much I can do. I just have to say what I think is right and what I think Yogananda would also think is right, by the way. But that isn't the point. The point I'm making, I had a massive advantage, though, which is before I ever had this experience, I was familiar with these teachings. And I was also familiar with the 12 blessings. So I already knew that the galaxy was a living intelligence. And I knew certain things about life on other planets from learning from Dr. George King before this happened, which I'm sure affected the experience when it happened. Mm-hmm. It enabled up a free flow of realization in this case. But I can honestly say that I can testify to the truth of this statement by Mars Sector 6. And I will read this little bit again. Use this information well, for it will change you, for it will cause multitudinous thoughts to come into your mind. That has happened. You've had that happen, and you've definitely witnessed it happen to me in studying this. Yep. And it will happen, and I'm sure people listening and watching to this will verify this. And he goes on, for this information will be the dawning of wisdom for you. And that's a tremendous promise.
Definitely.
Because actually the fifth freedom, it only just occurred to me, I think is described, and I want to check that I'm not giving wrong facts here, as a step into cosmic wisdom. But let me just check that while you talk, if you wish to.
I'll definitely agree that I've certainly witnessed...
Sorry, I've got it. Oh, yeah. This change... It says, this is the real beginning of freedom, and this is in the fifth freedom, this change into cosmic wisdom. So I attribute it to these teachings being applied to practices. And here's a New Age message, which is, although we stress on the Spiritual Freedom Show, always stress the overriding priority of service, I would take the chance to also concentrate on your own spiritual development, because that's part of evolution. How can you work for the evolution of others if you're not working for the evolution of yourself?
Totally.
It won't work. Yeah. It's because I'm not going to say it's in the hypocrisy per se, but it is a bit. But it's a conflict of intention. So you sacrifice your own evolution at times. Temporarily, to concentrate on others, because it's the whole is the greatest thing, and there are others more needy at times than yourself. But don't neglect it completely. And here's another thought. This is the Master of Theorists, and it appears in the book Realize Your Inner Potential, and it's also in other publications. Master of Theorists, reach inwards and upwards to the light there, so that you can give this light to others. You cannot give it to others unless you realize it. And there's a wonderful blending, is there not there, of personal spiritual development with service in one simple statement. That you can't give light to others unless you've realized it. How can you do that? Yeah. And so the inner realization of your own unfoldment isn't a selfish thing if it's done in the context of a life of service.
Yeah, absolutely.
It used to be, I think, a flawed thing. I do detect in the third freedom, rightly or wrongly, I detect, so I could be right, I could be wrong, but I detect from Mars Sector 6 a certain disdain for people who did do that, even though it was allowable in the old age to go off, disregard others, concentrate on your own development. I get the feeling myself that it doesn't impress Mars Sector 6 a jot. But anyway, it's gone now. We're in the context of service. We're in an age like the Solar Lords, who'll go into galactic consciousness for 500,000 years, but come out with abilities to practice aspects of white magic or whatever it might be, as however it's termed, that they didn't have before, so they can shed that light. And that's the purpose of it. And coming to my relatively tiny little experience compared to that tiny indeed, I felt at the time it wasn't even mainly for my benefit. Certainly wasn't only for my benefit. And I'm so glad, and I've also had some beautiful responses, you know, that it has inspired people, because I think that's what it was meant to do, to show that this path works.
Yeah.
And I must admit, I have thought to myself, I mean, it's just a fact, there isn't anybody who has received the initiations I received from Dr. King personally, at least, and the positions of responsibility he appointed me to. And I've devoted my life to this for over 50 years now. I mean, you know, I haven't worked full-time for the society for over 50 years, but I've worked full-time for the society for 45 years, non-stop, and I've made mistakes, and I've done things I shouldn't have done along the way. Yes, I have. I'm not going to enumerate any of them. Sorry.
if you thought that's what you were getting.
Yeah. I have. But I haven't faltered in this commitment for a day. I have always been on duty throughout. I've never left. I've always been on call. And while Dr. King was alive, I was on call for 24 hours a day, day and night, for 20 years. Mm-hmm. And I think to myself, well, look, also, if I don't think any of us really deserve, you know, great, I certainly don't feel I deserve great states of enlightenment and so forth. But I think people could also think, well, look, Richard Lawrence has done this. He's been at this all these years. He's been entrusted so much by Dr. King. If he can't get there, who can?
Mm-hmm.
And so I felt obligated to make my best efforts. Really, for that reason, I hope it reflects in some tiny way on Dr. King himself. And if it does, then as far as I'm concerned, that's the greatest thing about it of all, because it wouldn't have happened without him, I'm sure of that.
Well, I think it also really, you know, to the example that you gave earlier of, you know, the galaxy and whatnot, it's kind of like in the context of service, these things are even greater, aren't they? They serve this purpose of inspiration and teaching to others who can feel more inspired to follow the example. I'll speak for myself. I have felt more inspired in my own spiritual practices and in, you know, therefore my spiritual work as a whole as a result of, you know, you sharing that example, having it and then sharing
it
with us.
I'm absolutely really delighted. You know, that's just a wonderful thing. That's why I shared it, because I'll be honest, part of me just didn't want to share it.
Yeah, I can.
At all.
I can imagine.
And, you know, I know some people will think, Richard Lawrence, who does he think he is, blah, blah, blah,
sure.
And that's fine.
Yeah.
I don't mind, and I don't mind if people don't believe it. But if some people find it inspiring, then job done.
Yeah. Let me ask you a couple of these questions that have come in, which are not really about the experience per se, more about kind of the wisdom of the teachings that we have in the Nine Freedoms as it relates to evolution and as inspired by your experience.
Okay,
I think. Yeah.
Fantastic, yeah.
So, this person says, if the true purpose of life is to evolve to a higher level of consciousness, could it be that some of the living things we see around us in nature will also evolve into something else with time? Like, what happens to a rock or a plant or an elephant, for example?
Well, I know for sure that a pebble has a karmic pattern. So I can come direct to that.
Wow.
And that wasn't, that was an early experience, which is actually on my website, the Kundalini Diaries.
Oh, yeah,
Diaries.
The Kundalini Diaries. Yeah, people can go find
and
that.
It surprised me. And I dip my toe in the ocean of Samadhi. That's as far as I go, because I'm still not claiming to be fully realized. Far, far from it. I have many, many lessons to learn and a way to go. But I did, what was interesting in that experience in January was it was because it's a superconscious state, it's not directed as in the way that we're used to. So it wasn't like, I think I'll meditate on a pebble now.
I see.
I think I'll meditate on a rock now,
which
you can do. And we guide people in that sometimes, that, you know, choosing what to focus on. The choice was made by me at a higher level. So I absolutely knew the pebble, and then I knew the mountain. I was the pebble. I was the mountain. That's the difference, actually. You know, that final seed is meant to be burnt and consumed in the fire of enlightenment. I'm not saying I've gone to that degree, but that's the goal, and that's the essence of what you are entering into. So to come to the question, I actually don't know where the pebble goes from here, but I think it's interesting. I went from the pebble to the mountain. And you'd think that was an evolutionary journey. And I know that the mountain felt the loss when some rocks fell away from its side.
Wow.
Felt the loss. So there is some intelligence there in that being. And all life is evolving, and all life and all matter will eventually have to be transmuted.
Yeah, wow. It really gives you a different perspective, doesn't it? Because we think of it as just an inanimate thing that's just sitting there, but to think that not only is there some intelligence, but it actually has a karmic pattern that it's evolving through, ultimately back to the God source.
In some way, it could be very different from our evolutionary cycle.
Yeah.
But all things are transmutable back to their source.
Yeah, and I guess all things have to be transmuted back to
them. And they have to be.
Yeah.
And that's what the galaxy is waiting for. What I have from my last experience is a completely newfound devotion, and it's a limited one because I'm a limited person and a limited soul. But it is a devotion to the galaxy. And, for example, I look at the ninth freedom again, because I do believe, and I hope if we've proved one thing on the Spiritual Freedom Show, it's that even the higher freedoms can be applied by us.
Right now, yeah.
Yeah, it's a limited version, but that's what they're given to us for. This is the role model now.
Yeah.
These are the beings, and the solar lords reach a point, and to quote exactly, the great subtlety of galactic existence is realized by these ones. Now, and they enter galactic consciousness, as I mentioned. Now, I obviously am millions and millions of lives from that state, but in some tiny way, I can't think of a more worthwhile reason to live than to help the galaxy. And a lot of people here and there would think, this guy is certifiable.
I'm just trying to get by my life. He's talking about the galaxy. Yeah.
And okay, I mean, that happens, you know, and that's known. And Hiroshi Motoyama, for just to name one metaphysician, defined it brilliantly. You know, and he said, to the average ordinary person, the psychotic person looks the same as the genius. They both seem very strange. They both seem the same. And in fact, you know, in the same way, the schizophrenic person could be look the same as the medium to some people, because they aren't either. And the ordinary person isn't psychotic or a genius. So these are weird things. And so you could get someone who is, inverted commas, certifiable, if that's the current phrase, I don't know, who would say a thing like that. But it could also be true, and it actually is true, that we are the greatest thing, I believe, that we can do is to have an impact. And we've been told by the mastery theorists that when we help another person, we have some impact on the galaxy as a whole. Now, the galaxy, and, you know, I found in both my experiences, in January and the recent one, the most recent one, the cosmic realization, that one of the presences that was there was the Master Jesus. In both of them, which actually I wouldn't have expected and I wouldn't have thought of, but it makes perfect sense when you consider the teaching he gave.
I see.
Although the nine freedoms is the greatest set of teachings we have, and it defines our evolution, and it's extremely positive about where we're going.
Yeah, completely agree.
If there was such a thing as a cosmic carrot, forgive me, Master, this is it. And it's true. So it's a wonderful thing. But of course, the 12 blessings deals with the most advanced aspects of evolution. And there's a sadness in it too, because of the sacrifice that so many all advanced intelligences actually are making. And they're making it because know in a way that we won't understand yet, that evolution of the whole is why we're all here.
Yes.
And so they hold themselves back. Now, the galaxy is really holding itself back. It has to allow evil to exist within it, within its body, within its body. And I think if we can impact, if we can heal, if we can bring light, number one, that's got to impact to some degree, might be a tiny degree, upon the galaxy as a living intelligence, number one. And I know this is far out, by definition this is far out, but you did ask.
I did.
We can impact on that. And the other thing is, if we all get our acts together, all of us, and we really start to evolve, we are holding it back. Mm. It's waiting. I don't think it even has to exist, but I'm sure it doesn't. I think we've been told that. It's only here to allow us to evolve. And, you know, so when we get on and it comes back to evolving ourselves too,
yeah,
realizing the light within us too, to some degree we're helping that intelligence. And you could come literally down to Earth and look at the Mother Earth, who I think is, if she was a disciple of the galaxy, and in some way she might be, I don't know, but certainly, let's put it this way, the galaxy will be a god to her.
No doubt.
She'll understand that god in a way we can't. She is certainly following its pattern. And she is sacrificing. And these are the reasons. People talk, and we've talked before, about moral codes.
Yeah.
These are the cosmic morality. This is the cosmic morality, which has outdated the old morality. We should be doing what we can for the Mother Earth. And helping humanity helps the Mother Earth.
Mm.
And so let's get on and do that.
Yeah, I think thinking in this way, you know, it's like part of the key to raising our consciousness. And especially if you start to think in this way about, you know, our cosmic responsibility, our cosmic morality, and start to act in such a way as to discharge that responsibility, you know, that's a part of enlightenment in itself. That's what we're talking about here.
That's true. And the other planets in this solar system, let me just throw this in, and I have to apologize if this is a very advanced issue, I think, this addition. The other planets in this solar system, let us remember, not the inhabitants of them, but the planets themselves, don't have to be existing on the level they are. They too are holding themselves back, by the way, for the likes of us. Mm. Don't believe it's only for us, but for the likes of us. They could move up dimensionally to higher levels. They don't, because people like us need their physical existence, and maybe other life forms too, not even in this solar system. So they're holding themselves back. Mars, Venus, Jupiter, Saturn, and the others. So all our actions impact upon the planets. They definitely impact upon the sun. The sun's given us the energy we've got, and what have we done with it?
Yeah.
And by the way, the sun is, this is another thing that is so wonderful, and is revealed in the Nine Freedoms. The sun and the inhabitants of the sun are all but amalgamated. They are its expression. Mm. They form together, I think it's stated in here, they blend together to form the sun.
Mm.
They are its radiation.
That's right.
And they revere their logos in a way that Mars Sector 6 says, you know, even, you know, beyond anything we can conceive of in terms of reverence. Those aren't his words, but it's in the Ninth Freedom.
Sure.
This total coming together. Now, they provided the energy. What have we done with it? Let's use the solar energy. Let's use the prana, the chi, the universal life force, because it all comes from the lords of the sun, and it all comes from the sun.
Gosh, yeah. As you say, if we could have that question every day in our minds, I think, you know, even if we woke up and made that part of our morning routine, that might be a real game changer in terms of
It's a new age approach.
Yeah.
It's the approach that will be here when the new age dawns. Mm. The new age will dawn, and we're preparing for it. We're trying to work very, very hard. In the Aetherius Society,
yeah.
And not just in the Aetherius Society, by the way, but mm-hmm. There isn't another organisation like us.
Yeah.
There just isn't. You can look around; you won't find anything like us anywhere. It's quite advanced for some people, but it's not too advanced. It's a question of whether people want to make that adjustment.
Mm.
But you know, we aren't recruiters; we have a task to do. But when the new age comes, though, there will be this cosmic approach, this, if you like, this cosmic morality, if such a thing exists.
Yeah, totally. I love this line of thinking. I think it's really inspiring. I've got a second question here I think I'd throw out, which is, what is the role of time in evolution?
It's a fantastic question. There really is. And I have to say that, how long have I got?
Yeah, all the time in the world.
Time isn't, of course, as we know it, real. And when you enter the highest states, I mean, when one enters cosmic consciousness, one is beyond mind, interestingly, more than interestingly. It's no longer interesting, actually, because there's no mind. One has also moved beyond time. So, you know, I think we know that time is limited, really, is measured in mind. I know it's measured in the movement of planetary bodies. And so we that's how we work out our 24 hours, our et cetera, our months, our years, and so forth. But that's one measurement. But another measurement we're all very familiar with is mind. We measure time in mind. An hour can take a very, very long time, or it can go in a flash. That's because of our mind. Mm. So when you go beyond time and you go beyond mind, and when you enter a state where you could be actually just as much in another part of the cosmos as you are in this part. All those measurements have gone. That measurement of time has gone, and because you're beyond mind, that's gone. So time is something that, you know, that we use when we're in our ordinary working state. But it brings me to a very interesting point, which, and I'm now quoting from a lecture, or an address, actually, I think, that Dr. King delivered in 1962 about the Logos of Earth, the Mother Earth.
Okay.
And he says this: it is said that the Logos or Logoi of different planets are beings who have not taken the initiations which they were entitled to, or put it this way, have not taken the places in evolution which they were entitled to by the initiations they've undergone, but have come down a step. This seems to be the great subtlity. It's something missing in a Blavatsky's secret doctrine, in Alice Bailey's work. It's something missing even in certain Hindu works. And yet it's the great subtlety, and I cannot understand why people like Blavatsky did not see this and did not fully appreciate it, because it would have made her work so much greater had she done so. The great subtlety is, if you're allowed to live in a certain room after an initiation, you do not do so. You come back into the workroom as a much, much greater person, yes. And so it goes on. So the whole point there, and it does relate to the question about time, is that although you're able, and you may be able to demonstrate and experience something which is beyond time and even beyond mind, you'll come back down from that.
I see.
And you'll live in time again and in mind again in order to serve. And this is, you know, it's right through the 12 blessings, it's right through the 9 freedoms. It's known about, so that when a great Saturnian enters a great samadhic condition, I mean, it's way beyond anything we can conceive of as samadhi, they know before they enter it that they're going to use it in service. And they could take the form of a human being. They could take the form of a tree on a planet like this one, or whatever it was necessary in one of their numerous bodies.
Sure.
For a certain reason, it'll be for a very, very, very essential reason, a perfect reason, actually. But they will do it, and they will be then limited again by the situation they're in order to serve, but they've broken it. So to answer the question, time plays a key role, both in moving beyond it and seeing that it's a limitation and it's not ultimately real, because reality is changelessness. Time measures change, so it can't be real.
Would it be true to say that, you know, entering that state of changelessness, I mean, is that sort of like the apex of evolution? I mean, when we think about the perfection of God, that silent, motionless perfection above time, I mean, how...
Yeah,
how...
I mean, what I suppose is happening when one's entering the higher states at all levels, all the way through to the solar states, and actually planets meditate. The galaxy meditates.
Yeah.
So this goes on, is that in those periods, if one does it fully, one is really, what should we say, embryonically returning to God.
Okay, yeah, it's nice.
That's just a phrase that, you know. But one hasn't, because one hasn't yet transmuted. There's this massive gap between cosmic consciousness and ascension, and in his lecture that Dr. King gave, and it's available, and of course everything's available now on the cloud, thanks to you and Julian Rossett, Darren. But ascension will not be brought about by even service in any 10 lives, says the sixth freedom. And Dr. King says this, no matter how you serve in any 10 lives, you won't bring about ascension, because ascension is the culmination of more than 10 lives. That's what that means. Well, supposing I'm due to get ascension in 100 lives, then in the last 10 lives, after I've lived 90 lives from now, I bring about ascension. No, you don't. Mm. Ascension is the result of all your lives, from the word go. From the first time you came to this earth, you are working towards ascension. It's as great as that, my friends. It's as great as that. You can't bring it about in any 10 lives. If you suddenly decide to be saintly from this moment on, in 10 lives' time, if you bring about ascension, if you do so by giving service in a saintly manner for 10 lives, it won't be the result of those 10 lives, but the lives that went before. So it means something slightly different than one might think. And there's this wonderful statement, actually, that Dr. King made about Mars Sector 6. So the key moment was the initiation of Earth, which Mars Sector 6 presided over, you might say.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
He said that about that moment, he said, every mistake that Mars Sector 6 had ever made paid off. So, in other words, there's this big gap. To get to ascension, every single thing has to be put right. Every behavioral fault, every bit of selfishness, every wrong thought has to be corrected. That's a big difference between entering the state of cosmic consciousness as and when you are able to, which can be achieved, mainly through service.
Yeah.
Mainly a result not even of your spiritual practices. Certainly not of your small behavior. Those things matter. Everything matters. But mainly a result of your service, and particularly if you've been put in a position, or you put yourself in a position to serve the cosmic plan.
No, I think, again, that brings us back to, like, you know, this much deeper perspective on life and the meaning of life, doesn't it? And, you know, one thing, you know, makes me reflect on when I think about this distinction, as you describe, between cosmic consciousness and ascension, is like, you know, if we think about Earth as a classroom of experience, no one is passing or graduating without perfect marks. That's, you know, it's like we go to university, you might get a first and get a little bit less than 100, you might get a 2-1 or whatever. You still graduate, whatever. That's just not how it works in life for real, when we're really practicing following the example of these much greater beings that we've described here, you know, that are describing the 12 blessings and the 9 freedoms. To get to really advance and get to that level, we have to master all experience that we have here on Earth. Not
indeed.
Just,
and what I would like to say, just for people finally to take into the new age about this, I can absolutely 100% vouch for the fact that this works, the 9 freedoms works, and this path works as a journey in your evolution.
Well, Richard, I think I'm going to kind of like pause our conversation here, and I'm going to, because I'd love to bring this into another show. We've still got a few questions on this topic, and I'm loving the flow of the conversation here.
So am I.
So we'll see you next week, and stay tuned for more questions on this very profound topic of the meaning of life and spiritual evolution.
Everybody, it's Darren here. Thanks for tuning into the show. Now, if you enjoyed that episode, don't forget to subscribe for more wisdom from the 9 freedoms. If you'd like to find out more about the 9 freedoms, about Mars Sector 6 by Dr. George King, go to our website, that's aetherius.org. Richard and I love hearing from you, receiving your comments, your questions on your spiritual experiences, and talking about them on the show. So do write to us, share them with us at spiritualfreedom@richardlawrence.co.uk. Always remember that service is the jewel in the rock of attainment. See you next time.